Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Well, welcome to another powerful show, I am sure. Dr. Paula Price, how are you doing today?
I'm excited, and you know I'm looking forward to a powerful show today. I was just praying for our listeners and for my audience, because you know how much I really love these people, Ashley. I look forward to them when they reach out to me on Facebook and Twitter and all of it. It excites me to know how big our family is growing, because our family is growing large. So I'm excited. I want to welcome each and every one of you who called in today, and those who are listening in by internet. I want to thank you. This show, Ashley, I really want to thank you all for making me such a success and increasing my success week by week by your re-listens and also by your passing it on to your friends and just continuing to move us so that we become larger, so that we eventually will blanket the planet with the Paula Price Show. I do believe that. I decree and declare it, because it should be. I think that Jesus Christ has a lot to say, and I think we need to spread him all over the place. So that's what I was thinking today, Ashley. Don't you think it's a great idea for us to continue to decree and declare?
Oh, absolutely. And spreading Jesus everywhere we can put him is definitely a God idea.
For sure it is. Well, we have a couple of things going on, a few things going on our plate. We have, of course, our upcoming Executive Apostleship Training Retreat, which we've been talking about, and several of you have been, contacting us. And so we're getting our number. If you remember, I told you this is a core group. We don't make the large numbers large simply because we want to be able to impart to everyone who's there, give everybody an opportunity to glean and to ingest what God is doing and to feel as if they have had the special treatment and attention from the Lord they need to go to the next level. I was saying to someone recently, because Ashley, and I think you'll find this interesting, when I was talking to one of the people that were interested in being here and that I really felt should be here, I said to this apostle, and I think this word bears repeating to those of you who are listening, especially if you're teetering on the edge of whether or not this is something you want to check into. We only have a few more slots, and I mean literally just a handful of slots left, but we still want to fill them. And I want to fill them because this is not like my other events in the year, my prophetic forum and my apostolic summit. They're a little different because they are for the masses. This is something for the leaders, particularly frontliners, that top percentage of people who know God has something great for them, who understand that the Lord has marked them for greatness and that they're coming up on that season of manifestation. Think about what I just said, because it's important that it seeps into your head and into your subconscious. Some of you are not just marked for greatness, but you've been in the hopper, if you will. You've been in the toil. You've been in the field, in training, in boot camp, whatever we want to call it. You've been in that place of readiness and grooming. And some of you have been there so long, you don't think you're ever going to get out. Well, here I am to tell you today that you are going to get out. But you want to get out groomed. You know, there's one thing to be educated. It's another thing to be trained. And there's another thing to be educated and trained and then groomed. All of these things go into readiness, because you can have these brilliant people, but remember, we still need the soul of success, and we still need the demeanor that persuades people that we are the one. And so all of that sort of grooming is what goes into what we do at our Executive Apostleship Training Retreats. It's important that I stress that to you. So I said to one apostle that I was talking with about it, and I said, but you know, when you're trying to be born, you cannot be born in public. You know, that's not something that you do. Even nature, animals, they don't birth in public. They go off by themselves into a quiet place to produce their young, to become who they are. And so some of us, and I'm not even going to say us because I understand it, but some of you are trying to be born. You're trying to be taken seriously as apostles. You're trying to be taken seriously as apostolic leaders or prophetic leaders, and you just can't quite get your foot. You can't get the traction you need to move forward, to push into that next realm. And you know it's summoning you. You can feel it. It's in your spirit. It's in your soul. It's in your dreams. You feel it. And you keep thinking, God, I just need a little bit of push to get up off the ground. You cannot be born in front of your people. That's just not going to happen because they're not going to understand it. The birthing process, spiritual or natural, is messy. You know, it's just messy. You're not at your best. You're weepy. You're in pain. You're agonizing. You're cramping. You're going through all of the machinations of coming into being, coming out of your cocoon, if you will. And so that's something that a lot of you are trying to do, and you're not getting taken serious as their leaders, as this transitioning possible, because you haven't come off the scene long enough to get out of your cocoon, to break out of your shell, to come into the full manifestation so that the greatness that God really has done in you that only you and he know about can be seen by all. So we have these events for people like that. That's just one group, but it's a major group. And I said, you know, if you keep changing, which is what happens when you're going through the birthing process, if you keep changing in front of your people, they won't respect it when you're complete. And they won't respect it because they have too many visuals of your process. And those visuals stay in their minds. Even if they say the right things and put on the right face for you, long story short, they are not going to remember or forget your process easily. I created this environment for all of that to happen in secret with peers, with people who can help you, who can help you push through, help you shed, help you take on whatever it needs. I recall again for you, Lord Jesus, he did not just get baptized and go to center stage. He got baptized and he had to go and be remade. In other words, he had to be made into the image. And when I say made, I don't mean constructed. I mean manifested. So God had to take him off the scene so that they would see him differently when he returned, because otherwise all of the great power and dispensation that God had given him through the baptism would get lost in people's remembrance of the process. You don't want people to remember your emergent process. You want them to accept and encounter the finished work, the finished product. That is why I am pushing. Again, I only have a few slots, but I want to fill those slots because I am a woman of purpose, and I'm a woman on task. And when I'm on task, I'm on task. You know, a lot of people, you know, you go out on your dates and whatever, and they do all of those kinds of things. Not me. I'm on task because I'm always going after an end result. And as a result of that, the end result, if you will, I'm always on task, and I'd like to make sure that I've covered every base and achieved everything that was on my mandate clipboard from the Lord. So I'm saying this to you to say, those of you who are still trying to figure out if it's worth it, if it's not worth it, if it's no more than for you to go back and your people to see you differently and have opportunity to relate to you differently and forget who you were so that they can rapidly become accustomed to who you are and work with that, this is a great event for you to do it. This is a great time. You're with others who are moving into the next level, others who are transitioning, promoting, graduating, extending. There are so many other ways of doing it. It is a structured program. It is not a conference. You're not going to sit around and have a parade of preachers preach and unpreach one another's message. That's not what's going to happen. You are coming to this event to become. The reason you're attending this event is to become, and to become in a way that your people don't remember. They won't remember the agonies. They won't remember the groanings. They won't remember the awkwardness and the clumsiness that comes with moving from something old into something new. They will not recall that when they encounter you again the very next week. They will see a different individual. They will see a different leader. They will hear a different sound, and that difference is what will command their conversion, and it will expedite their conversion to what God gave you to do. People will not convert any better or faster than their leaders, because a disciple is not above his master or teacher. So You have to get ready for that. So I said this to this apostle, and I'm sharing it with you because it's important that you hear. If you continue to try to change in front of your people, you will continue to cause them to feel shame about you because they what they imagine you to be in your strength, they are not seeing in your weakness, and you have to be weakened to become strong. So you don't want to do that. So I'm inviting you to do it, and I'm saying for those of you who, hey, reach out. Consider it an investment. Consider it your people's investment. Use them to help you get there, but I promise you, if they meet you, when they met Jesus coming from the wilderness, and we assumed that he was in the wilderness just looking around and you know, kind of just enjoying nature. No, no. He was with wild beasts. He had to shed some fears. He had to shed terrors. He had to defeat opposition. He had to defeat nature, the elements, his old conditioning. He had a lot of things to do so that when they met him, they only met the finished product, the man of strength, the man who had the answers, the man who had the power, the man who had the vision and the direction for their lives. And he was appealing in his power. But in your transition, you're not always appealing. You're not always attracting. And in some transitions, depending on how deep the work God has to do in you, you can almost be repelling. So I'm encouraging you. And this message, while it is for this event, it is for every one of you out there. You're wondering why people don't take you seriously because you haven't gotten the fullness of what God is doing. That dispensation that he is pouring out in you has not come to its fullness. And while it's filling up, it's not attractive. It's not comforting. It is not encouraging. And in many ways, it's threatening to the unenlightened. To the unenlightened person, you look fickle. You look unstable. You look like you don't know where you're going. You look like you're here today and gone tomorrow. You look like you're playing favorites because everything that's going to settle into this powerful minister, this powerful messenger that you are going to be, that you are en route to becoming, is public. And everybody gets to hear your questions, your doubts, your second guessing, and all of the things that discredit leaders. So there's a transparency that you should have with your people, but then there's a mystique that you need so that they can know that God has really done the work in you. And you need to take yourself off the scene to become the fullness. Because we've been giving people partialities. You know, we're constantly standing before the people, so many ministers, as a work in progress. Think about that. Leaders don't have that luxury because sometimes, you know, your beloved close allies, your beloved close attendants, they understand. They're with you. They have your vision. They don't need to be persuaded. They don't need to be reminded of who you are. But there is the larger member of your party, your group, your church, whatever you have, they are not so persuaded, and they're going to need to be convinced every single week that God is still with you. They don't want to. They don't know that you and God may have had a falling out. They don't want to know that. And so every week you're standing in front of your people as a work in progress. Every week. And so you might as well stand up every Sunday or every meeting, every gathering, with a sign around your neck to say, forgive my bad appearance. Forgive my my construction. Forgive my image. See, because I'm a work in progress. You know, and you know, like you go to a store, they have the sign, you can't get into the lobby. What do they say? Forgive our appearance. We're making ourselves better for you. And you're like, okay, that's great. But you know what? You expect to see something awesome when they're done. But as humans, especially as leaders, you don't get the option of standing in front of your people week after week for however long that transition period is. And for some people, it's a period of years. Others, it's a period of months. And so throughout it all, you're constantly standing there apologizing for being a work in progress, knowing that you're great, knowing that something awesome is coming out of this thing in the end. But do you really want to see people while they're on surgery, while they're getting groomed? Nobody does. So that is why I make a big deal about this, because even leaders need that safe, controlled environment to go from who they were to who God ordained them to become. And so when you spend those 3 days with us here, I know it's hard for you to believe that it can happen in 3 days, but trust me on this word. God is so waiting to get his hands on these people who are tender that he does a quick work. I mean, from the moment they get on the plane till they get into the facility and the moment they get back on the plane, God is working at fever pitch because he knows he has just but a short time. So I would love to encourage you. Again, you know, I took this time because I want you to understand this is not about, well, you know, she just wants me. No, no, no. I do want you to come. I'm not going to kid you. I want you to come. And I want you to come for the reasons I just said, because I lived it. I know what it is to have to know you're great, to know God did great things in you, to know God has deposited stuff in you that nobody wants because you have not finished being groomed. I know what it is to constantly have to change and change and change because of the transition process and because of the inner development that God is doing and trying to tell people you're okay. You know, you're okay. You're okay. You're okay. And then, well, I'm okay. And then I got to second guess myself to give a decision, change of mind. Give her this and change of mind. Taking action, going to use this, going to go use that. Picking this one, putting this one down, setting this one up. Nothing is stable. That is why I started doing these, to give us kind of our own refuge, hiding place to come and be changed, to come and be safely transform so that when we return, we're clear. You know, when you heard our testimonials, and we'll have a couple more in a few moments, but to be clear, do you know what it's like for subordinate leaders to follow a senior leader who's clear, decisive, and defined? Because it's that you get to pass on to your leaders. When they hear strength in your voice, when they hear clarity, when the uncertainties are gone and that tremble of uncertainty is gone from your tone, when your words are more emphatic than they are tentative, you have moved. Your organization will click and your people will strengthen. They'll snap to it because you do. So that is why. So, yes, I do want you to apply if you are a senior leader. I want you to apply if you're one of those people who know God is changing you and you just need to get your footing. You just need a place to shed that old, to cease being a moth so that you can turn into the butterfly. You need a place to molt, be free, and when they meet you again, you're meeting them to take the reins of authority and to lead them where they have to go. That is why I make such a big deal about you doing this. I make such a big deal about those of you who are coming, especially those of you who are transitioning, especially those of you who are being entrusted with new ventures, bigger things, and all of those of you who know that you have the mind of Christ and trying to get the consciousness of your call. It's important. So that is what I'm doing. So Ashley, do we have anything? I know you want to make some comments, but do we have anything to share after your comments?
Oh, sure. I think I've learned over the years that as a leader, the best service I can do my people that I lead is get ahead of them as far as possible in my training and development, and to really put the time into myself so that I can put into them what they need. It's not enough to just be a little bit ahead of them. It has to be about having enough of what they need, enough of what God needs to put in me to prepare me for them and the people that I don't know are coming. And so a training like this Executive Apostleship Training Retreat does just that. It prepares the leader, like you said, to really be fully developed and grown. The reason this is so effective in the 3 days is because God is using people who are already active, already busy. This isn't one of the, come in the weekend, be activated, prompt out of three people, bam, you're good to go. This is God adding to what he's already working with good material, seasoned mantles. And so those 3 days can take seasoned mantles places that newbies just can't even go because you're still trying to understand what in the world you're doing. Whereas those senior officers have a lot of that under their belt, And so going to the next dimension and going to the next level, especially when they're coming, they're pulling on you, the teaching, the training, the way it's broken down, the resources, our commercials show it, the apostles, the testimonies that they sent are breaking down what they learned. We were shocked when we heard them because we did not script this for them. They told us what they learned. And we said, oh, my, they're teaching a lesson, Dr. Price.
Oh, God, that was wonderful. Wasn't there some of those testimonies just touched my heart because they reverberated the vision and the motivation that I had for these when we were planning them, Ashley, you know? They spoke into exactly what I was going after.
They did, and they got it. And it was really refreshing to see 6 months later they got it and they knew what to do with it. They applied it. Apostle Howard's testimony of how the faith of her ministry changed after just one executive training retreat. And I thought that was powerful to see. There's not some sort of 12-month, two-year lag time. You have to do hoops, come to 10 sessions, have Dr. Price in 3 times, you know, say 10 prayers and a Hail Mary, and then boom, you'll get a result. But the whole point is for them to go home, get on that plane, and immediately begin to implement the changes and improvements into their lives.
And here's the thing that I would like to stress is that they don't go home and try to figure it out. They get concrete, tangible, tactical strategies and maneuvers, innovative measures and methods to make it happen. So you're not going home with, oh, my goodness, it's just jumping. No, no. And then the Lord, because we want to remember, the Lord begins to speak. He's now speaking into where he has taken you and where he's taking you because you can hear it. Another thing that I found about when God wants me to do a new thing, and I'm in a similar state right now, is that if you don't get off the scene, you don't hear the new instruction. Because the old and the roar of the old and the roar of the battle, the conflict. Hello?
Yes.
Okay, what's happening?
With what?
Okay, I just heard so much clicking and rattling in my ear. But the thing that I want you to understand is that it takes you getting off the scene to even hear God, to get away. And sometimes getting away alone, I love Apostle Suzanne's introduction to her testimonial about the retreat. Sometimes getting away alone with you and God is a good thing, but other times you've got to hear him in the scope, in the range of your office. And one thing I've learned in giving these events, which I'm happy that I do give different events, leaders versus fivefolders versus apostles versus prophets, I noticed that the fullness of our God enables him to manifest to each office and each the way it is. Every stratum that God has for ministry, he shows up. If he had a bishopric conference, you'd see the bishop of our soul show up. If he had a shepherd's conference, you're going to see the pastor side of Christ show up. When he has an evangelical one, same thing. You're going to see the great herald of all creation show up. When he has a prophet's meeting, he shows up as a prophet. And when he has an apostles gathering, he shows up as the great apostle. So you have the apostle of our profession. So you have to recognize that it doesn't make a difference how many meetings. If those meetings are giving Jesus the platform and giving him the floor, he's going to manifest as the group that is gathered before him. You know, because our God is a God of decent and in order. So you're not, it doesn't make it, I've been to a lot of, no. You've not been to one where they allow the apostle of our profession to show up. You've been to the one where we've figured it out and we're working it out and we're round tabling it and woodshedding it and fleshing it out. That's not what this is. This is not that. That's fine. But here, the apostle, Jesus Christ, shows up. And you hardly ever hear anybody say, Apostle Jesus. You hardly hear anybody say, Prophet Jesus. You hardly hear anyone say Evangelist Jesus or Bishop Jesus. but they're all his offices. They were his offices first. And so when I pull together an event, I pull together the event for the manifestation of the Son of God, the Son of Man, that needs to appear. That is something that each stage of church revelation has kind of lost a little bit of sight of. I'll say that. So if this time you're going to meet Apostle Prophet Jesus Christ, you're going to meet Senior Leader Bishop Jesus Christ, because when you are in the, when you talk about apostles, you are speaking the entire encasement of the ministry of the new creation church. So that's what I wanted to say. I think that it was important, actually, for me to point that out, because so many times people say, I'm just conferenced out. And I want to say, well, you probably should be, but you still haven't gotten in this man's office. See, the Lord Jesus occupied those offices before there was a church, before there was a us. Why? Because he had a life before us. You know, a lot of times, actually, we treat Jesus like kids treat parents. Oh, you were in high school? Yeah, I had a life before I had you, you know, because a lot of times the kids don't think you had a life before them. Well, we do the Lord Jesus like that. Oh, he had a life before us? Yes, that's the essence, the whole Christian story, is that Jesus Christ had a life before us, and he had a family before us, and he had a kingdom, and all of that predates ours, which means it gets to set the tone for and establish the rules for this world. You know, as you remember the night with the young man asked me in one of my Let's Just Talk shows, and remember the question he asked me, why does God get to say what's right or wrong, and why does he get to judge? And, you know, he was this kid, remember he was a philosophy major or something? And so he's expecting
his
law.
Well, he fancied himself to be a philosopher, yes.
Okay, well, we'll let him stay in that fancy. But yes. The thing, what got me was that he was expecting this long dialogue, dissertation. He was ready for debate. And I said, because he wrote the rules. And that's really the simplicity of it all. God wrote the rules. He wrote the book, and he tried the rules before he made us. So he knows he's right because he hasn't been wrong yet. That's a hard thing for us to deal with, but it is true. So as we get into this, we don't know this man's office until he brings you into it. You know, and I want to say this. I don't often share. I don't know. Actually, I've been very forthcoming these last couple of weeks. But I don't often share my spiritual encounters with God. Because, you know, like Paul, that's not why I have them. But every now and then, the Lord prompts me to share how I came to what I have. And so I want to share just a brief moment. When I first started out in my positions, all of them, because, you know, I came up the ranks. And so when I first started out, God used to speak to me. I used to get visions and dreams. He spoke to me by the Holy Spirit, you know, or many times I just got an enlightenment, you know, because you don't always hear God's voice. Sometimes he just gives you his thoughts. That's it. You just deal with that. And so, and that was fine. But I had a day where I knew I was promoted and elevated in Christ. And the reason I knew it was because he started bringing me into his office. People ask me, why do you say office and gifting? Why is it a big deal? Because he brought me into his eternal offices. He was not sitting on a mountain speaking into the wind. He was not swinging from the rafters. He was not sitting around a dinner table laid out on a pallet before a plate of food. He was not just standing in the midst of folks gathered around him. He was in an office, and he started bringing me into his office. Now, I've been in the throne room and all that kind of stuff, but it was pivotal that I saw him in his office. And I saw him in his office as prophet. I saw him as his earthly, in his earthly apostleship, and then I saw him in his heavenly apostleship office. And we'll talk about that a little bit at our time together, because some of these things don't belong in a public forum. And so, but I'm sharing this with you to let you know that this is not something that, you know, I'm just trying to, well, you know, you just want to push your thing. I probably do because it's his thing. And, you know, to the pure, all things are pure. and to the sinning and defiled, nothing's pure. So for those of you who are purely interested in God as God is, this is speaking to you. For those of you who are not, I'm praying. But I want to say this. He occupies offices. And I've seen him in all of his offices. And because he's Christ, he's not limited to time and space. So he can sit in all of these offices, but he still needs to staff them with us. And that's what this whole thing is. You know, the church getting caught up in your ministry giftings and charismata and all of that, that was all a derailment of this man's original authority. The structure of eternity, the structure of Jesus Christ, the structure of his institutions, offices. You can't get, I've walked in them, I've seen them, I've seen how they're built, I've looked at the institutions. You know, I mean, people have said to me, well, you know, that's not how we do it now. Well, that's unfortunate because you're doing it out of orbit. See, we're doing a lot of things that are out of God's plan, it's all orbit. We're out of God's orbit altogether. We're just off like the wandering stars that Jude talked about. We're just, you know, when you read that, research said those wandering stars are wayward planets, just wandering all over the place, orbit, bumping into each other, causing calamity here and there. But that's where we are. That's what we look like in God's world in the spirit, because we are, every star is doing what they want. You know, star represents messengers. So every star is wandering around doing what it wants, not working within the cluster, the constellation or the galaxy or the planet or whatever you want to call it, the universe, if you will, of that God's assigned. And so here we are just wandering all over the place, breaking rank, breaking orbit, causing calamity all over, when God's world operates in a different way, and it's operating according to order. When he structured this creation here, this physical creation, he patterned it, modeled it after his eternal world that's been working forever. You know, we think we get to call the shots. No, we don't. We just get to shout it out. But we don't get to call the shots because the consequences that we can't anticipate or manage tell us we don't call the shots. We just shouted it out. But God is moving those who are willing back to his particular way of doing things. And that way is God establishing his institutions and his order. Because we want to talk about divine order. You can't have divine order without structure. You realize that you can go into a supermarket and you can all go to the front of the line to get checked out, but and they can tell you, wait a minute, one at a time, and everybody get in order, but until they tell you what order looks like, and we're just a mob. The minute they say, everybody get in line, now we have order. Now, order takes all the authority and all of the decision-making out of our hands. Now we go next, 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 because that's order. So we want to tell a mob to be in divine order so they cease looking like a mob and they just become a mass. And God is saying, but there is order in my kingdom. And my order is based on that which my son has been functioning and operating and staffing and stocking for ages. And I really want to get that across to you today. Divine order is not our shot to call because we are Johnny-come-latelys. We're last. He said we are the last works. We're the at the end of time, at the end of the age. We are the final race. He's the last Adam. All of that should tell us, and those are clues. And if we read our Bible, we would recognize there are a lot of clues in there that we're dismissing or discounting in favor of every man doing what's right in his own eyes. You know, tribes allow you to do what's right in your own eye, may the strongest one me. But when you start getting into states and nations, those are governments, those are structures, there's an order. Now, it may be a crazy order in some of them, but there's an order, and it's very different. Now, one works through channels, and the other one works through emotion. And God wants us to start working through his channels and not just bullying his emotions, because that's not what we want. So I thought, Ashley, that was really great when we were talking about that.
Yeah, it is. And it just, again, pulls things into a new perspective. I mean, when you do new things, you have got to have a new perspective in order to even see what you're going after. So that's very refreshing and inspiring and challenging. Apostle Howard is listening to the show, and she sent me a text, and she's just over the moon about it. And she said, too, that it's important for even the people in the churches and congregations to invest back into their own church and ministry by investing in their leaders.
Oh, you know, I just love that woman because, you know, she just kind of sent, she's over the moon. I'm over the moon, you know, because she got it. And she's she comes from a very strong professional background. So it's not just a church girl doing whatever. But I would like to hear from her a little later on. So just text her back and tell her, gear up.
I did.
So I said, gear up, you know,
that's
because
it
is important.
Press, as you say, press
said,
number one, Apostle Suzanne.
I'll tell her, gear up, you know, because I would like to hear from because, and I'm spending this time because I do know that often we'll say, I'm praying, and God isn't answering my prayer because we want a private devotional word that we can input all right because that's how we've been trained. But there are times that God has to answer you through the order he has if he's bringing you in it. It's wonderful for us to say, you don't need anyone to teach you, and I got it myself, and you can get it your way, but we are the only institution that reward people for doing it their way, and we reward people for doing it because we're not doing anything. Because you cannot have chaos and then produce competence. Chaos and competence are mutually exclusive of one another. And so we'll do that, but there's a time that you have got to submit to the Lord's tutors, trainers, et cetera. Our Savior did. The Bible said the Savior was under training, under tutor. Now, this man is God. I mean, even as a kid, if he's God, I know we want to think differently about Jesus. But you know, Ashley, even though Jesus was a kid, he had to be a super brilliant kid. Because at 12 years old, he up there running the temple. So he's got to be a brilliant kid. But you know what? He still had to submit. And the Bible said he had to submit to his time of manifestation. So some of you all have come unto the day of your manifestation. So I would say to you, you might need to take this moment, come off the scene and do it. Is she on the line?
She is not on the line yet because she's actually listening through her phone through the internet, I think. And so she's running errands, but she's going to get to that place to where she can call in.
Oh, I love it. I love
she
it. Cracked I don't
up.
You
she
love
said,
that
I knew it. She said, I knew it. I would have said the exact same thing.
I love it. Well, I know you have a couple of more of our testimonials, and I'm, you know, I want to do this because I want to give you every piece of information you need to make the quality decision for you at this time. And I know there are, it might not be a lot, but there are several of you who need to make this push and this press. If for no other reason you say to yourself, I do not want to, even my most discreet attendants need to see me in a better light. So what do you have for us, Ashley?
I have a little something for you. Here are some testimonials.
Well, praise the Lord. This is Apostle Dr. H.A. Dawkins III from New Dimensions Apostleship Embassy in New Rochelle, New York, sending out a Macedonian call to all regional, national, and global seasoned and emerging apostles to join Apostle Dr. Paula Price at her Executive Apostleship Summit, April 30th through May 3rd in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Beloved, this summit is a time of apostleship training like none other. Dr. Price is the premier apostolic scholar filled with the wisdom of our King Yeshua. She has been called to such a time like this to train and equip a new era generation of apostles for the end time harvest of the kingdom of Yeshua. When I personally sat under the feet of this great apostle at her Executive Apostleship Summit in September of 2013, I was overwhelmed by the wealth and breadth of wisdom that she poured out relative to the office of apostles. At that summit, we learned the 21st century tactics, outputs, and mastery necessary to function as an apostle in this restitution era of this divine office. Beloved, listen. At this summit, Dr. Price will teach you how to think as an apostle, how to commit to our King Yeshua as an apostle, how to discover and activate your apostleship commission, how to tackle the duties of an apostle, how to undertake the reins, rules, and regimes of apostleship, how to capture and dominate one's sphere as an apostle, how to brand and monetize your apostleship office, how to trademark proprietary apostleship operations and manifestations, how to elevate apostles and prophets' station in mainstream ministry, how to inseminate the present and future world with the true apostolic gospel. Beloved, you don't want to miss this Kairos moment of apostleship impartation. You need to register today. If you have to borrow the money to come, make this an investment in your future apostleship endeavors. And let me tell you this before I close. Dr. Price is about to be released to the global purpose of her commission, so you better get this impartation while she is still available. Meet us in Tulsa, April 30th to May 3rd, for this life-changing event. I guarantee you, your life will never be the same. If you've been called to it, she can help you do it. Be there or be unprepared.
First, I want to say the retreat word gives some of us a mental image that you're going to be there in a lot of quiet time. You're going to have time for prayer journaling, and you're going to be alone a lot and maybe sitting off in distant room just having quiet time with the Lord. That's what I get as a visual when I think of a retreat. This is not like that. To me, this is a briefing. This is a meeting of God's generals and general elect where we come together and we sit and we learn and we listen and we pray for one another. It is encouraging. It is uplifting. I love the fact that it's, and this may not be in favor to PPM Global, but I love the fact that it is a small group because we're able to have time to ask questions, get them answered, and not just answer so that we actually understand the question and the answer that we wanted to know. I love it because we sit at this round table and we're not going through workshop by workshop at with teachers or workshop facilitators at different levels where you're like, yeah, I enjoyed this workshop, and yeah, this one was pretty interesting. You are with the, I'm just going to say it, you are with the top leaders. To me, this Dr. Price Ministries and the team that she has, her prophets, they are the best thing we have going right now on this side of heaven as far as teaching on apostolic apostleship, apostles, that if you miss this, then you really don't have much plans for yourself. Dr. Price opened up and said, you're not going to be where you are right now by the end of this year. But I say you will if you don't attend this retreat. It changes everything. It's so centered on apostles that you're actually connecting with others who are going through some of the prophetic things you're going through, some of the dry places where you're not sure, am I the only one that's going through this? You're meeting with people who are like-minded, similar, the warfare that we go through, you find out like, wow, like I don't have to give up because there are other people that are going through the same thing, that this is actually part of the apostolic call that's on my life. It is more than a confirmation, and it's more than an affirmation. To me, this is the event. This is so needed. I love the prophetic forum. I've attended twice, I believe, already. I came into contact with Dr. Price's ministry, and I believe it was 2011, and it was at a time in my life where I was ready to quit. Yes, I'm going to admit that. I was ready to quit. And I called out of desperation. And thank God that I met the right people because I was told desperate people will eat anything. Well, God took me to the right table, and I have been eating thoroughly and being full with what God has been feeding me through this ministry. It has revolutionized my thinking, my passion, my pursuit for what God has for me. And I'm telling you, the first couple of days, you'll be a little embarrassed of yourself because I was like a deer caught in headlights. I was just frozen. At one point, I just dropped the pen and said, I can't write anymore. This stuff is like, it was mind-blowing. But it wasn't to the point where you could not understand. I was able to understand it. The key is to go over your notes, refresh yourself in the notes so many weeks or every so many months, so that you can keep it alive in you until you're able to get to the next retreat. They're every year. And what I liked about it most was when I came back and shared with my leadership. Listen, this is key. I need you to listen right here. This is key. My leadership team, and I believe I've seen this across the states, leadership is ready to be sent out. That is the whole goal of why we get saved and remain a Christian, because one day I'm going to have my own church. You know, we were all on this big pastor boat. Everybody's going to be a pastor, and everybody's going to have their own church. Well, this settled my leadership down, and it even caused a shift in the leadership where some left. And it wasn't scary like it used to be for me because I was direct and I was settled in the commission that God called me on. And when I was able to sit with my leaders and discuss with them what my commission is, what my purpose is, what my mantle can do in their life, it settled them down. My leadership actually turned around and came back to me and said, Apostle, we are not ready. And they came as a group. They had had this little meeting on the side. And they came to me and said, Apostle, we are not ready. We need to be settled down. We need to be taught on commission. We need to be taught on how to produce a leadership for the apostle so that the work of the apostle can be done. And if we're sent out, well, glory to God, it will be an honor. But if we're not, this is where we need to be. This is what we need to know. And they sit at the table with me now, and it is such a settling in the whole church because the church has felt the leadership. And they felt the anxiousness of the leadership. Now the leadership is settled, and they're like, teach us, just give us more, just give us more. We're taking the commission training, and it is teaching them, and it is also teaching myself, but it's not at the level that I was before. My anointing, my office has catapulted that my leadership team, they just glean from the teaching that I'm able to give them now, and it brings a peace to us all. So I'm serious. I would not miss this retreat. I would start listening to the commission teaching now. You need to get into the life tracks. I mean, I can tell you the whole thing right from the beginning. But the main thing I'm going to tell you is do not miss this opportunity. Leaders, apostles, pastors, if you have to get your church to buy into this, then that's what you need to do. They want from you what you don't have right now. And the only way they're going to get it, and you are going to get it, is by taking the time and going to this retreat. Just ask 100 members to give you something, 50 members to buy into this so that they can see and be, it's just not a natural awe. They will be awed in the spirit at what comes out of you because what's already in us, it's there, but it's not being pulled up so they're not getting the best of our anointing and our office. But if you go to this retreat, I'm telling you, don't miss it. Do whatever you have to do. If you want to find me on Facebook and ask me some questions, I will be glad to answer your questions, but don't think of it as a retreat where you're going to be left alone and walking out in the woods and writing in your prayer journal. Uh-uh, baby. Bring your new notebook, your fresh pen, because you are going to be taught every dime that you invest, you're going to get back a dollar on it, and I can promise you that in the name of Jesus Christ. So I pray that.
Well, amen. That was Apostle Suzanne Howard from Hartford, Connecticut. The Apostle's House is the name of her church.
No kidding. Nah, man, I always like to hear it. When you say it, I still get tickled.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, if anybody's going to do it, it's going to be her.
I'm telling you. And also just the confidence. You know, this thing has been trying to be born and it's been struggling in its own blood for a long time. Reminds me a lot of Ezekiel chapter 16 where God has to come by and say, you know what, everything is leaving you, but I'm going to pick you up. But I tell you, Ashley, those were some powerful testimonies. I love hearing them. And I love for our listeners to hear them. And I'm sure that people go back and listen to them again and again because beyond the event, there's a ton of wisdom up in there. You know, there's a lot of things that they say that are provocative, you know. And I have to tell you, you know, Apostle Suzanne is just a provocative speaker. You know that, don't you?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, she will compel you to do something.
I think it's awesome. Well, Prophet, we've covered a lot. So here's what I want to say. We have fresh back from their trip to Venezuela, our prophet on the ground, and I'm sure she wants to pipe in. Is she around? Did I find her?
She is. Oh, yes, yeah, she is on the line. And before we go to her, I just want to insert, if you are on the line and you have a prayer request for Dr. Price, press 1. I already have some people lined up for her, but we have a few more spots available, so hit that number 1, and we will make sure we do our best to get – oh, see, somebody hit their number 1. I'm coming to you right after our commercial break with Prophet Adia back from Venezuela.
Oh, my goodness. All right. I am back. Hi, guys. Yes, fresh back from overseas. A powerful time. Again, Dr. Price, thank you so much for the opportunity to be able to go and minister to the people of Venezuela. So I guess I'm saying welcome. I'm welcoming myself back to you, Paula Price Show listeners, because I've missed you all so much. Here's a few things we want to let you know how you can connect with Dr. Price after today's show. We want you to go to www.drpaulaprice.com for everything Paula Price Ministries, everything you need. If you want to sign up for our mailing list, if there's an event that you want to attend, Dr. Price was talking about the Apostleship Retreat earlier. That's where you want to go to get that information, drpaulaprice.com. That's Dr. with D-R, drpaulaprice.com. And click on the Executive Apostleship Retreat button there on the homepage, and that's going to direct you to all the information that you'll need to go ahead and request an invitation to attend. Those dates, again, are April 30th through the 3rd of May 2014. So it's coming up next week. You do not want to miss it. We will see you there at the Apostleship Retreat. Also, next Monday and Tuesday night, Dr. Price is joining Dr. Mario Maxwell from Mario Maxwell International Ministries for the State of the Prophetic Eye Conference. This is HAP 28th and April 29th. So Monday night and Tuesday night starts at 7 o'clock, and this event is online exclusively. It's only $25 to attend. You actually want to visit mydestinymentor.com for information on how to register. You can also see our Facebook page, PPM Global Resources on Facebook, for a direct link so that you can go ahead and register for the State of the Prophetic Eye Conference, which is the 28th and the 29th of April. So that's next week, next Monday and Tuesday. Prophets, you don't want to miss that for only $25. Why would you miss that? So go ahead and register mydestinymentor.com, or you can visit PPM Global Resources on Facebook and see the link directly. That's going to be an exciting time. Don't forget that the forum is coming up this 19th through the 21st. Early bird is through May 1st. Early bird is through May 1st. May 1st is not that many days away. The early bird registration is $99. You do not want to miss taking advantage of that. So if you're coming out to see us this June 19th through 21st, $99 is that early bird. It ends on May 1st. Do not call me on May 2nd crying about missing the early bird. Take advantage of it. May 1st is the last day for early bird, $99 to attend the Tulsa Prophetic Forum. Remember, if you are bringing a group out to the forum, then your group, if you have 10 or more, your group can come for $75 a piece. So you can take advantage of our group rate. We love, love, love to see groups come out and see us for the Tulsa Prophetic Forum. So if you're on the line and you're listening, you're a prophet that's over a prophetic company, or you're an apostle that has a prophetic company, you want to make sure that your group of students come out to the Tulsa Prophetic Forum. It is education right on the spot. There's evening classes, in the afternoon general assembly. It's going to be a powerful, powerful time of prophetic education and training. So that's the 19th to the 21st. You don't want to miss that. Last but certainly never least, we want you to follow Dr. Price on your search. You want to look for Apostle Paula Price so that you can like Dr. Price's page and instantly be connected to all of her powerful posts. She gives a personal post almost every morning. It's exciting to be a part of that journey with her, and it's exclusively on Facebook. So you want to go to Facebook.com, like Apostle Paula Price so that you can get instantly connected with her. Don't forget to join her on Twitter as well. Her handle on Twitter is at Dr. Paula Price, and Dr. Price is also on LinkedIn.com as well. So she's on all the social media sites. No excuse not to stay connected, and we want to hear from you. So following the show today, go on to Facebook. Let us know about your experience with the show. If Dr. Price laid down a prayer today that you know is for you, tell us about it. Connect with us because we want to hear from you. Let us know how this show is changing your life. Again, Facebook.com, Apostle Paula Price. Click like so that you can be connected with us. Dr. Price's company is on Facebook as well, PPM Global Resources, and we so want to hear what God is doing in your life. So we will see you online, and God bless you.
Well, welcome back. We have missed you, and Prophet Adia and Prophet Tala were telling us that the people in Venezuela just love you, Dr. Price, and can't wait for your appearance should that day come, but they check in with you. The online radio show is such a blessing. because it can go around the world, and that's exactly where you are. You're everywhere, and Prophet Adia's announcements definitely show you are everywhere.
And you know what? I told you, we're blanketing the planet. The Paula Price Show is going to blanket the planet with Jesus Christ. Because you know he's my honey. So we got to blanket that. Yeah. You know, when somebody's your honey, you just got to spread them around. Let everybody know how great he is, how wonderful it is. And I truly am in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, again, Ashley, you know, June's coming. So we're going to be there in June for our prophet's retreat. And remember, we have a bus this gathering, don't we, Ashley?
And we have a what?
A bus that's coming to the retreat.
Yes.
A bus on the folk.
Yes. Yes, so, they are. If you're in the Joliet area, then you want to connect with Apostle Nona Parker at Antioch Christian Assembly International, and they are bringing down a delegation, renting transportation to get here so you can enjoy the ride.
Yeah, and wait a minute, and leave the stress in the parking lot because
yes.
You get to lean back. I always think, when I think about the bus, I said, my goodness, God, this is going to be something. That's going to be one amazing ride. Just the Lord's grace, the Spirit of God, and all of those folks with the coming with the anticipation and leaving with the satisfaction of knowing, oh, my gosh, the Lord has visited us. So make sure you do that. And, again, it's coming up soon. Our forum is in June. So now, Ashley, what do you have for me now? We've been having a blast so far. I enjoy this time that we've had listening to our other apostles and of course, having Prophet Adia back in our airspace. Isn't that wonderful? So where
yes.
are we? What's next, girl?
We are going from here. We have some callers on the line. Oh, yeah. It's good to have the prophets back. I told Prophet Tala, I said I feel like a unicycle when you guys are gone. We are three wheels. Three wheels should not be busted up. Very weird.
But you know, you pedaled that cycle, girl. Now, come on, let's be real. You pedaled that cycle like shit. You
I didn't know? Fall off. You know, I didn't fall
no.
off, but man.
No, you bobbed and weaved a little to the left, a little bit of a breeze now and again, but you recovered. You stayed on your cycle, and you pedaled all the way to the victory line.
God.
So you tell me I have callers. Is that true?
You do. You have callers lined up here today. Also, like I said, if you have a question, you can hit that number one. And if, like Prophet Adia said, if you have a praise report, a testimony, tell us. Tell us today how the prayers of Dr. Price or prophecy, prophetic word, or exhortation has blessed you in your life or changed your life. Did you get a job promotion? Have you been healed? Has your family been restored? Have you just gotten clarity on your path so you can move forward into your future? We want to know, and we want to know today. So let us know. You can push that number one, and I will. Okay, the number ones are lighting up, and I will fill you in. So, Dr. Price, are you ready for your first call?
I am set. I'm eager, actually.
And go. Okay. This is Carolyn from Kansas, and she is calling because she needs prayer for a job. Carolyn, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Thank you, Prophet Ashley. Hi, Dr. Price. How are you?
I am wonderful, Carolyn. How are things in Kansas, right next door to us? How are things going there?
It's partly cloudy and a little rainy, but everything else is fine.
Wonderful.
I'm calling Dr. Price, and you prayed for me before concerning a job. It's been over 7 months. Can you hear me?
I remember.
Oh, okay, over 7 months now, and I still haven't received a job. So I'm praying for that. I really am. My experience has been in the last 20-plus years has been in management and mainly call centers. I've been in call centers for telecommunications, security, and also the banking industry. So I was just calling again concerning a job.
Now, have you, obviously you've been pursuing certain things. Are you still interviewing and all of that?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Are you, I'm asking this on an off chance, Carolyn. Are you supposed to relocate?
Yes.
So you aren't working toward that yet, are you?
No, I'm trying to get monies together so I can be able to relocate.
It seems like part of the relocation has to do with your job. So are you putting out feelers in other places or in the location that the Lord has instructed you to go?
I have been. I sort of slowed down from doing that, but I have done that.
Well, I need you to pick that up again.
Okay.
And also get an agency in the place that the Lord is sending you. Get an agency that legwork for you, because you definitely need an agency along with, you know, the online sites are great, but sometimes you just need somebody else with a feeler. And so what I hear you doing, Carolyn, is connecting with, I see several of them, several agencies, and don't just send your name. Call and talk to somebody. Establish a rapport that will enable people to hear you differently.
Okay.
That's something else. But I also hear the Holy Spirit talking about, because I don't know if we talked about relocation before, but I definitely hear the Holy Spirit saying you're going to relocate, and it's about relocation right now. Did we talk about that before? Because I don't remember that. I do remember.
Yes, ma'am, we did, because I was not supposed to come here. So, yes, we did. And there was a question about should I go back to my hometown, or I wanted to actually pursue going to Atlanta.
Well, and I'll tell you the second thing that I'm hearing, because, you know, I'll tell you, see, the Lord Jesus Christ, I say to everybody listening, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The man doesn't change, and he can't change. He's got to stay Jesus, because if he changes, he's, well, no longer Jesus. But when you first started talking, it's relocate. Here's what I want you to do. We're going to pray for someone to put something in your hand for you to get an opportunity. I don't care if it's a one-time event, you know, like writing resume or helping somebody pass a test or whatever, because you need to do those kinds of things. You have some very unique skills that can bring daily bread into you. So right now, we want to pray for you to get some daily bread money in addition to getting this job. So that's the first thing. Second thing, I'm praying for you to go there. You need to go into the land of Atlanta. You need to go there and visit. Do you know anyone there?
I know a couple of people who've moved there. The young lady who actually is responsible for me connecting with you, I know she lives there. And another couple of whom I coached, they reported to me while they were here in Kansas, lives there. But other than that, I do not. I have visited there, leaving from my hometown just to visit, and I do love the city. I don't know if it's changed now, but I just wanted to go there, and that way I would be even close to my hometown that I could go back and visit.
Well, a couple of things I need you to do. Because, see, there's you right now, I'm almost chuckling, and I'm chuckling because, you know, I don't often get a chance to talk to people who have a whole lot of opportunities, whose sphere of life is set up with so many options that it's unbelievable, and they're blind to all their options. That doesn't often happen.
Okay.
You can train.
Yes.
You can teach. You
mm-hmm.
can write. You can write proposals. You can do business plans. You are one gifted lady. Maybe, my beloved, you're staying too locked in one vein.
Okay.
Now, we have never met. I talked to you briefly before, but every time you open your mouth, another ability comes out of your mouth. Every time, and the Lord just shows me another thing you can do. You are way too gifted and way too talented for you to stay stuck in just one vein. You have enormous resources. And I'll tell you the truth, it's unfortunate I don't have a resource company or anything like that, because you could get hired doing a lot of things. You'd be an asset to an organization. I kind of see you working better with mid-sized and small companies than larger ones. For some reason, the politics of large companies mess with your psyche. You don't like that. Because you roll up your sleeves, dig in your hands. I have to be in the hub of things. You know, you are. If somebody was starting a company, you'd be great as a partner to help them start it. If someone was changing or they were diversifying, you'd be great. But I'm telling you, your skills are way too diverse. That's the word I want to use. Your skills are way too diverse for you to stay stuck in just one thing. But you don't like trying new things because you work hard to master what you do. And when you master it, it makes you want to lock in and not have to go out and do it again. Because quiet is kept, and I can say this, we're on the phone together. When you start learning something, you put your all in it, and you know that. You are one of those all-consuming learners. And frankly, so am I. And when I decide I'm going to tackle something, you're going to get 150% of it, and I'm not putting it down. Everything else is on hold till I master it. That's the way I am. You're not much different. So you know for you to change your field or to go into something else, you realize it's going to consume you. And apparently whatever you did to master this particular field, you put a lot in it, and you are not ready to let that go.
That's true.
But I think you must. I think you must. I think it's time for you to move up. I don't know what your schooling is like, but I'm telling you, you can work at a vocational school doing stuff. You are that talented, and you're that good with people.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to pray that you open up your horizons because you want to be rewarded for what you've done. But when it's time to shift, let me tell you something I've learned in God. Everybody who's listening to me today, I want you to write this down. When it's time for you to shift, God drives your economy.
That's true. Mm-mm-mm.
And so he's been telling you the other things he wants you to do, but you're hanging on. You're just hanging on to the safe and the secure because it's familiar. Because, again, you put so much into becoming good at what you do. Now, and so you don't want to change. You just don't want to shift. And it's what you have to do, my beloved. You will not be able to stay in this place because even the job you get, you want to get it at the same money. It's not going to happen for you, I'm telling you, because God has another economy for you. See, you've gotten offers. You just haven't gotten the money.
Right.
Mm-hmm. See, you didn't have to tell me that. I figured that's where you
true.
You've gotten offers. They pay you the money because you want to make the same money you made, and that's not coming forth for you. So I want to tell everybody, the one sign to know when God is ready for you to shift is he starts drying up your economy. Now, that means he may want you to shift your job. He may want you to shift your tactics. He may want you to shift your contacts, your methods, approach. He may even want you to extend or diversify your knowledge and abilities, your skill set, if you will. But know this. He will only do that when he's ready for a shift. When he wants to get your attention, that is standard God. That's classic Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we need you to do now is I don't know how much time you spent with career counselors or anything like that, but you might want to sit with a career counselor to find out how you can migrate into the next thing the Lord wants you to do in your life.
Okay.
But you have, I'm telling you, again, you are great. You can write resumes for money. Come on, you know how to do that. Not hard. You can help people do it. You can coach young folks and help them get their job. You can help people with term papers. You have a lot of things to do that you can use. Like God said to Moses, use what's in your hand. But you're blocked. So your call today was a good call for you because we want to unblock your mind and open your mind to other opportunities and possibilities. When we get in a narrow vein, listen, you know, because, see, God can't change. Here's what the point that I want to make to you. The Lord cannot change. I am the Lord. I change not, he says. He can't change. So if he has this written on your page, then God will let you fumble and grope, et cetera, until you come to the book, the page of the volume of the book that is written of you. See, so he has it written where you're going. And we're talking about that now. So I want you to think differently. I want you to check in with a career counselor, not just where you are, but also where you want to be, and begin to see how you can diversify. And I'm saying this to you because you so remind me of myself. All my life I had all of these amazing abilities I can do. I was a quick learner. I could make a lot of things happen. If I wanted to make something, I could do it. I had that all my life. But until I got into the one thing God called me to do, it was like scattered marbles. My life was like chasing marbles all over the floor, you know,
right.
How they keep rolling away from you because they're all wonderful. You love them all, but you couldn't get them to find each other, to draw together and cohere into something called a purpose something called a career. When I got into my purpose in God, those things, those marbles became magnets, and they began to draw to each other and adhere to each other so that they could serve that single purpose. And that is what I'm praying for you today, Carolyn, that the Lord will give you that grace to open your eyes and to see your ram in the thicket, your ram in the bush, your call that you don't think is important. And if I had to go out on a prophetic limb right now on this conversation, I would say to you that it's something that you've been doing since you were 16. And it comes so natural to you, yet don't pay attention to it. Typically, your destiny is something you've done subconsciously, you've done casually, you've done informally, or you've done as a hobby that you don't realize that you mastered because it was fun and because it was an outlet and it was a release. So I'm going to pray for God to take you back to that season of your life where you just did it to pass time. You had a pastime thing you did, and it was fun. And you did it with your hands. And God's telling you, I'm bringing you full circle. I'm bringing you full circle in your life.
My Lord. Pastor, I'm sorry. Dr. Price, before you pray, I just wanted to say one other thing. When you were talking, that is so true. Just to encourage your listeners, because it's been in my spirit. It's just been all around me about a change in career. Just a change in even just thinking about you can do this, you can do this, you can do this, and then I would just push it to the side because I was more comfortable doing other things. So that is so true. That I know you know that, but I just wanted to encourage your listeners that you are truly a woman of God. That is so true. So that was it.
Well, I thank you for that, and I want to pray for you because when the next time I hear you, you're going to tell me what God reminded you of, and you're going to kind of rummage through your life. You have some boxes and something that looks like a trunk, but not necessarily a trunk, but you have some things, old things that you never let them leave your life, that you take them wherever you go. And I hear God saying you're going to find some answers in that. And from that moment, it's not that exact thing, but your discovery and recollection of what you did with your hands is going to trigger what the picture, the download that the Holy Ghost wants to give you. So you have a lot going on. You're doing better than you think, but you do have to be open to new things because, again, I'm like that. You know, we don't like change. Right? 'Cause you're kidding. I mastered this. Why do you mean I have to go start a new career? I got to get new training? Oh, come on. I mean, not so. Say you're not meaning, but if your economy is in your future, then you're now bankrupting it. So that's something you need to keep in mind. So, Father, I thank you for Carolyn. Lord, I thank you for her life. I thank you for her journey to get to where she is in you. And now, Lord, I thank you that you are her Father who art in heaven. You are her heavenly Father, and that you are God. You made her, and you made her for your purposes and for your glory, and that you did not make her without a reason, but there is a book in your kingdom, in your world, that has her entire days laid out in it. So now we're asking that you would open the page on that book and show her what she was ordained to do by you as your daughter in this era, in this year, 2014 A.D. God, I thank you for doing it. I thank you for ordering her steps, guiding her footsteps, leading her hands to grope and fall on the right thing and illuminating her understanding. I also thank you for helping her break ranks with the old, break ranks with the past, and become enthusiastic about the new thing that you have for her. Take away all fear, doubt, and unbelief. And God, I thank you that in Atlanta, she's going to find her way. Lord, I'm asking you to do a special favor for me. In this call, I'm asking that you would create a way for her to get to Atlanta, spend some time surveying that land, walking that land, so that she can discover what you've called her to do and have the divine connection that you've arranged before the foundation of the world. Now, I bless you for doing this, Father God, in the awesome, powerful, and rich name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God, do it. Do it fast. Do it now, and let her know that you've got this in control. Bless you for it, Father. Amen and amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much, Dr. Price.
You are more than welcome. I'm expecting to hear good stuff, girl.
Yes, thank you. I feel so encouraged. I really do. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. God bless.
God bless you, too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Prophet.
Amen.
Don't we have a sugar pie, God?
We do.
In Jesus. He's such a good God. And he's so, you know, it is amazing, actually, to see how much the Lord dearly loves his people. You know, when we go through trials and we go through so many upsets or our blessings seem to take forever to arrive, we have to be reminded that we are precious in his sight and he dearly loves his people and that God is always working Jeremiah 29:11 for his family, always. And he is always working to do us good and not evil, and to give us the future. I love it. Okay, who else do you have? I had to come, you know, just bless him a little bit.
Bless him. All right, next on the line we have Roslyn from Indiana, and she is calling for prayer about prayer. She needs an increase in her level of prayer. Roslyn, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Thank you. Hi, Dr. Price.
Well, hello, Roslyn from Indiana. How are you doing in that neck of the woods?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Glad to hear it. So you are interested in increasing prayer. Tell me about that. Why is it that you're calling for that reason?
Because it seems like I get into a place where it's like I'm all excited about it, and then I'll pray, and I might pray in the spirit a little bit. Then I have a lull where I just don't pray. Or like I have a tendency to talk to the Lord all day, and I'll talk about different things. But then when I really want to, you know, really break in tongues, like unless they do warfare prayer, it comes for a little bit and then it kind of backs off. And then I notice that, like, if I'm going through, like, hard times or if, like, my daughter is going through, then I can really have breakthrough times in prayer, really where I really seem to pierce the heavenlies, and then it'll just go away. So then at those times I can pray for, like, hours. And then other times it's, like, a little bit of, like, spurts. But I want to pray consistently. You know, have a consistent stream of prayer, you know, to where I'm seeing a consistent change and consistent movement instead of just every time ebb and flow prayer.
Okay. Well, let me ask you something, Roslyn. Are you a part of a prayer group? Are you part of an intercessory team?
Yes, ma'am. I pray every week at my church, like okay. As a corporate prayer. So I do pray every week at my
okay. So you are an intercessory team?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And is your team praying for your church, for leadership? I mean, here's why I'm asking so that we're on the same page. I need to know what area or dimension of prayer you're going after, because if you're talking about increasing your prayer for your church, that's one stream. If you're talking about increasing your prayer devotionally, that's another stream. And then if you're talking about increasing your prayer strength and power for your personal life situations, that's another stream. So, and the reason I'm saying this is important because I think we're going to get you a breakthrough today. But the reason I'm saying this is that prayer has a purpose and a focus. Prayer is an object. It has objectives. So it has to have an object. Where is it? Where is it targeting? So I need to get a sense of your prayer target to understand what you're asking God to do for you. Because if you're just asking him to increase your experience, I'm not sure that's where you want to go.
Wow. Do you understand? And think about it like, well, I didn't think about it like that at all. Because I do, like, when we have corporate prayer, we have a strategy where we focus on a particular area. So, for example, we pray for, like, a month for, like, healing or maybe 2 months for healing. In the members, or we pray, you know, for leaders in the area of healing, like for all churches. And then, you know, 1 month we might pray for love and have a prayer strategy where we pray for love, you know, that we increase our love as a body. And so, like, from a church standpoint, like from corporate prayer, we have, like, structured, like, prayer. So when I'm thinking about personal prayer, like, you know, as I pray for my family, like I have my extended family, I've been praying prayers of salvation for them. And then I have a prayer for salvation for my coworkers. And then prayer in my personal time with prayer. So I have different kinds of things I pray for, but I haven't really kind of separate. I had never thought about separating them. Maybe
you
know, that's my problem.
Well, if you're thinking about it, the way you're describing it to me, you just want to launch out in the deep and just kind of float out in prayer and see what goes. And God is probably preventing you from doing that for two reasons. Number one, because it's too haphazard, and he doesn't like haphazard prayers. And number two, to allow you to get out there haphazardly could be very dangerous. Because you'll start getting out there in the spirit realm, breaking through realms and things like that, and you don't even know what you're doing and what you're engaging. Because you understand that, for example, you've just described to me your what you consider to be your personal intercessory duties, and then you described for me your devotional. Now, devotional prayer is not meant to go and engage devils. It's not meant to go and get in warfare. Devotional prayer is you literally interacting, socializing, for lack of a better word, communing and fellowshipping with the Lord. You don't need to go rah, 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 rah for that. You know, he doesn't need that, you know. He wants to be the center of attention in a devotional prayer. He wants to be the only thing on your mind, your only pursuit. And he wants you to pursue him for who and what he is. So he's not going to have the Holy Spirit get you all steamed up and riled up to get ready to run with sword and spear and carrying on. He doesn't need that. So that's one way I want you to look at it. It's a little different.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing I want you to know is that as far as your personal intercessions go, depending upon how severe the issues are, God is regulating it because you're praying alone. He said, we're two or three together in my name. So it's nice for you to pray for your family, but the intensity that you want, oh, no, you're going to need some, you're going to need a partner. Because, see, we pray, you know, it's really ironic. We pray for our family because we're praying for wonderful cousin this, sister that, and brother this or whatever. We're praying for them because we're praying for what we know. But God knows they're strong men. And he knows the guards that are preventing them from coming to him. He knows their strategies and how they behave. He knows their tactics. And you may not have enough of that insight to go storming those gates. You're going to go storming folks' life gates. You need to be sure that you're able to complete what you start. And when you're interceding for family, for friends, jobs, you're talking about jobs you don't even know what people are into, you're talking about single-handedly storming their life gates. And that is not something that I personally would do. I don't storm life gates now unless I have a reason and a support team. I do this show every Thursday, but I have a powerful team of prayer warriors who are both on this phone and around the country covering me because I'm coming after your life gates. So I want you to rethink what you want God to do. And I want you to give a lot of thought to how well your life is set up to take the backlash and the blowback from you penetrating these people's walls. Because we have taught you, now hear me, I'm an apostle. So I'm giving you an apostle's perspective. I'm not giving you the local church, the community church perspective. I'm giving you the perspective of the one who deals with the principalities and the powers in a different way. And I know that the whole way we teach people to pray, we do not prepare them for blowback. We do not tell them the devil strikes back. Because these people, I mean, come on, they don't want to be homeless. Come on. So we have got to realize that when we're training people to pray, the first thing I want to tell you, if you want to take on a lot of intercession, you need to get a group. And you need to make sure the group is in a position to handle the weight. And even with that, you're going to have some resistance in the beginning. So I do think that God is clearly showing you where your authority is. Your authority is with your issues. Because when you start getting into all those other issues, he shuts your authority down for a reason. So he's telling you what you're able to do. And the Lord is playing it safe with you. He's truly safeguarding you by capping. Now, I know it's more fun to think, probably a lot more comforting to think, well, you know, it's just the enemy not letting you pray. No. God knows what you're trying to engage. You don't have the spiritual resources. You may have the desire, the drive, even the love, because you so love people and you so want to see folk free, that I can feel that through the phone, but you don't have that latitude, and you need to get it. So I'm not going to pray for you to have more access, because my prayers work, and I will be unleashing stuff on you. I'm not doing that. When we talk again, I want you to tell me you have a prayer group that you all get together, that you're consecrated like this, not your church prayer group, because you are clearly seeing this as a ministry mandate on your life. So I need to see how you're going to make that happen.
Okay.
Rosalind?
Yes, ma'am.
Are we still together?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you understand what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do.
So I'm not going to pray that, because I will do you more harm than good when we talk, and I want you to call me back in about a month. And when you call me back, I want you to tell me what you did to secure your life and to secure your sphere sufficiently enough for you to go engaging the things you're trying to go after.
Okay.
Now, here's what's important. Even with that, when you call me, I expect you to tell me your particular limits and parameters that you receive from the Holy Ghost, and he will give them to you if you're interested.
Okay.
So that's what I'm going to pray for. I'm not releasing another thing for you, sweetheart, because I know you just came out of some major calamities, and I'm not putting you back in them.
Thank you so much.
Ooh, hallelujah. You're mom and you're a blessed woman. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. Bless you, Holy Ghost. Bless you for Rosalind. Bless you for her life, God. And bless you, God, for the wisdom that you have put in me to protect and guard your sheep. God, I thank you that you have removed from me years ago the enthusiasm of just seeing and saying and hearing and praying. But God, I thank you for the restraint, the prudence and the wisdom, the spiritual strength, prudence and wisdom to protect your people and to guard them and guide them in the good and right way. So I thank you for that. Now, Lord, I've issued her a challenge, and only you can make it happen. If this is your will, then I'm asking that you would connect her with the others. If it is not yet time, then I ask that when she calls me, she tells me the truth, that it is not yet time. But God, I thank you for being a good dad, for being a good caretaker, for being a good guard over her life, and not allowing her to be sucked into and tempted to rush into spiritual terrains that she is not yet equipped for. I bless you for being the shepherd of the flock, Lord Jesus, and I bless you for being her light, her guide, and her leader in this. God, I can't even tell you how much we love you for loving us and for the great love we're with you loved us. So, God, I thank you for her right now. I thank you for taking over this matter, Father God, by your Holy Ghost, and leading her and guiding her into all truth and into the ways everlasting. Thank you for it, and bless you. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. God bless you, my beloved.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye. Prophet?
I love it. She said, thank you. Thank you.
I was having a hard time trying to move into the prayer because I was like, she's like, whew, thank you. You can almost say, thank you. You know.
Appreciate it.
Honey, you know. But Ashley, you know, the thing that I listen to, because there's so much prudence and wisdom that God wants to disseminate to his body in this hour so his people can stop being, you know, just really recklessly cast to the wind just for the sake of performance or for the sake of activities. But he was just saying, you know, we have to stop telling people that they can just, you know, you want to do it, you just jump on in. You just go and do it. If I can do it, you can do it. No. Because, again, as I started this discussion, Jesus has offices. And if he has offices, he has staff, he has strata, he has levels, he has all of that. And he is looking to take care of his flock. And sometimes we love God, because I know I want to, but we still have to know what he wants us to engage in and whatnot, because this is a new day. Now, there are things that were okay before because the founders and all of those things back 25, 50 years, they did a great job of setting up the guardrails and setting up the parameters and the beams and pillars so everything was pretty much secure. That's not happening. The hedge is broken on the church. The church's hedge is severely broken. We need to all accept that, which is why saints are getting sick left and right. They're getting taken out. They're dying. Their kids are going through because the hedge of the church is severely broken. Now, I didn't say it was gone, but it's severely, severely broken. And the gates are right now being rattled as the gatekeepers are being just overrun by what's going on. So we cannot give people 50-year-old rhetoric and 50-year-old doctors and even that 50-year-old glory clouds, because trust me, that's not what's happening. The guards of the earth have changed, and they changed a long time ago. They changed as of 2000. Severely changed. And so we're going to have to give people new strategies, new wisdom, new insights, and new tactics. That is what my word is to you today. If you are an intercessor, if you're a leader, your church leader, what make sure your people can withstand the prayer tasks you are delegating to them, because if they cannot, you are contributing to the upset at the least and the destruction of their lives. Make sure your people can handle it, because this is a new day, and a new day means new everything, new ways, new guards, new folks. I wanted to get that out, Ashley, because I felt like it was needed.
Well, that's good. I remember you're the first person I heard teach on, and probably one of the only people I hear teach on, you need to have clearance to get to those different levels and survive those different levels in prayer. Very rich, very rich.
Truth. Okay, who's next?
All right, we have Mary Louise from Pennsylvania, a state that is near and dear to my heart. She is praying. She is calling for prayer, for direction. She said the last 4 years of her life have been a hard transition. She's been unemployed. Her theology has been tested, and she knows she needs some healing and deliverance. So, Mary Louise, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Hello.
Well, hello, Mary Louise. How are you doing?
I'm well. I just want to commend you for what you just did with the last caller, and also to the caller, and just having submission to what you said, because that is exactly what I hunger for. You know, doing things the right way in excellence and in order, and many times we don't have the proper foundation and the knowledge in order to step out and wisdom. So I just salute you for, you know, your maturity and everything else that you stand for. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate the acknowledgement, because it means a lot to me to know that the body is understanding the particular path and the particular parameters that the Lord has delegated to my mandate as his apostle today. So thank you for acknowledging it and recognizing it. Now, how can I bless you? Hard transition. What's that all about?
For the last 4 years, 4 years ago, I stepped off my job. I was going through tremendous warfare, not just on the job, but my personal life. My family, ministry, and my whole entire theology more so just been turned upside down, inside out. I can say it feels somewhat like Abraham making nothing out of something. The Lord was allowing different people to bless me as far as income is concerned, those that I poured into as far as paying bills and all of that. But the transition in me moving actually to Florida, I don't know about how to put this. You know, I just want to ensure that I'm stepping out and I'm being obedient. I'm not doing something out of my own, because this is unfamiliar to me. And what I can say is that I've learned a lot through the suffering, through the experience. It made me dig for a deeper truth. But in it all, I had to experience some things like betrayal and accusation and a number of different things that brought me to a greater understanding of the call and everything that Christ has done. I just have a different perspective of things as well.
Okay, I want to ask you a couple of questions. Will you be able to give them to me, give me like the short answers?
Yes.
have good questions for you. You said you walked off your job 4 years ago. Why did you do that?
At that particular time, I really thought that it was God. But as dealing with me, I believe it was had a lot to do with the pressures and the things that I was contending with my family, and also even with the job. So I believe that there was a correction, because on this particular job, I actually was promoted within 4 months, three times.
And so, and you walked away from that because you were under pressure.
Well, the pressure, my daughter was going through different things like mental illness and other things that I really was not getting help in the church. I went to the church to meet with this particular situation, and it just got worse.
Okay, so I want to ask you a question, because, see, I'm not going to pray for a job until I clean up some stuff, because you and God are getting ready to launch off. So stay with me on this, okay? Here's what I want to ask you. When you walked off your job, did that heal your daughter?
No.
Okay. And so?
It made me spend more time with her.
But did it help?
No.
No, it didn't help. And so you walked off your job, and then you, I'm assuming you ran through unemployment and whatever savings you had, so you literally consumed whatever sustenance you had in your life, whatever provisions, and you did it because you were resentful of your daughter going through. And it seems to me from what you're saying that you felt a little bit guilty or responsible for your daughter's state of mind, and felt that I need to do the mother thing to help her or at least be there for her. It's a question.
I believe so. Just looking at, I guess, from the deliverance standpoint, and I know, I believe what God says about the word, so that was, I guess, my choice. I didn't even know if maybe I even had a nervous breakdown with everything that had transpired.
Which is interesting, and it's, hey, listen, for what you're talking about, it's quite likely, but let me just say some things, if I might, because if we're going to get you back on God's payroll and we're going to get him to open up his treasury to you again, we need to make sure that this is something that you and he have resolved. Again, we're in the era of the grown-up Christian. God is not treating us like babies any longer. He's not just saying, oh, you broke your here, here's another one. Oh, you missed, here's another. He's not doing that, which is why so many people feel like God is ignoring them. Because God is like, wait a minute, you have no idea what it cost me to do what I did for you. And I imposed a lot of sovereignty for these blessings that you all are so lightly kicking to the curb. So I want to say this to you. Because, and I want you to hear this, because you are a woman with a great future. I hear your calling. I promise you I do. And I don't want you to move into that calling or to come near that thing and have it slip through your fingers, because you and God need to resolve just a couple of little thorny points.
Amen.
That's what I want to say to you. So here's what I want to make you understand. Your God does not, cannot use you ministerially if your emotions and your emotional panic over your family's life will always cause you to drop the ball and flee. I talk to women all the time, and I know the church teaches this differently. And if their doctrine, like you just said, your theology was stretched, if their doctrine worked, I'd buy it, but it's not working. It isn't working. And see, doctrine from God works, because the Bible says God can't fail. So he's working it out. The first thing I'm going to tell you is that I agree with deliverance, you know, but I believe in a holistic approach. People are, sometimes they are organically sick, and we need to not act like every sickness is a spirit. Sometimes it might be the sin in the flesh, the weakness of the flesh, the appetite, the behavior, the conduct, the consequences of things. So we can't ignore that. I am not a proponent of everybody concluding in the church that if a person has a mental disorder, it's all about deliverance. Sometimes people, if people can have physical maladies, they can also have mental ones. And not everyone is just, so I want to say that to you, because that's important. And sometimes we don't take our loved ones for treatment or whatever. Now, I'm not a real proponent of a lot of, you know, drugs and psychotropic drugs, but I do believe the Christian counselors and psychiatrists and all of that are raised up by God for a reason. And that if we're going to handle these difficult journeys that we must walk through with our family, we need to use all of the King's resources and not the ones, just the ones we like. That's the first thing I want to say to you. And I know this because you have a call to do a lot of things, and I really want God to speak to your heart about what I'm saying because you went through that for your future. And I know it. The next thing I want to say is that if a church says we're about deliverance, there is no such thing as a one-shot deal deliverance. I don't care how many times people try to tell you, well, yeah, I took him to deliverance and he was out. I came up in an era, Mary Louise, where they said, well, if you've been in a prayer time once, get out. Are you kidding me? The emergency room will take me more than once and give me some treatment more than once, my doctor will put me on a path. So if the deliverance process they gave you was just about screaming and all of the stuff that we do, if that's all you got out the deal, then your daughter wasn't going to stay whole because you, in the end, true deliverance gives you wisdom about the captivity. So when God does it, because Jesus said it, he talked about this man. What did he say? He went heal somebody. He said, go and sin no more. Wait a minute, go sin no more? That's contrary to our theology. What do you mean sin? Are you trying to say that he sinned and he did it? And we only see sin in moral terms. We don't see sin in abuse terms. We don't see it in addictive terms. We don't see it. See, we only see it in moral terms. But there are times that people, you know, I mean, this guy could have done any number of things. But Jesus said, I have mercy on you. Because you should have been in this position because of what you did, whether it was drugs, whether it was crime, whether it was lying, deceit, whether it was eating the wrong food, it doesn't matter. You know, it's not just one thing, and it's not just moral. And so he's saying, you know, and during that time, that's all they knew. They didn't know anything about, you know, the difference between, you know, abuse or neglect or whatever, although they did talk about, you know, surfeiting and gluttony. So you cannot have a deliverance in a one-shot moment, one service. Now, I know people say that because they are better, but I'm telling you, when I followed those people 5 years down the road, they're struggling with the same thing. Why? Because there was no support pattern, no retention patterns for them to retain that deliverance, and you need it. And a church that is going to engage in deliverance needs to be a lot more built up and a lot more supportive of the work they do. That's like going to the doctor, getting surgery, and then he doesn't want to see you ever again. Wait a minute. You cut me open. You've left me. I'm trying to walk, and now you're telling me I can't come back or that you have no recovery plan? That is not it. Now, I'm being honest with you, and I just want to say I know I'm right on this. If you're going to do deliverance on people, then you need to make sure that there's some sort of recovery plan, support plan, because people have to learn how or be taught how to live free. If a person has been in bondage for a long time, you have to learn how to live free. When I got delivered from cigarettes, it took almost 3 months for me to know what to do with my hands. That's just a simple thing, just to know what to do with my hands. It took that long for me to know what to do after I ate because I did everything with a cigarette. So there is a follow-up and follow-through process that we need, and I believe that he wants you to learn it. I believe God wants you to study this. And I believe he wants you to learn it from the wisdom that you've gotten and the things that you've learned. I'm 100% sure that's what he wants for you. And the other thing, which is why you are so tapped into the theology breakdown. See, that's why that's bothering you, because the Holy Ghost is saying, see, this is what I mean. See, this is what I'm talking about. You see how you just went through this? Magnify that exponentially. Do you understand what I'm saying to you?
Yes. What you have disclosed is pretty much a part of the ministry that I have grown to know, the four different problem areas that we contend with, like soul, spirit, hurt, ungodly beliefs, sins of the fathers, and the resulting curses and demonic oppression. I have tapped into those particular areas of therapy, counseling. I mean, you name it, I've done it. I've never closed myself off to any type of deliverance, even for my family or anything of that sort, because my attitude was, whatever, God, that you want to do, I will do it. I'm one of those people that tends to just go out there real far, and it's kind of different. And I'm not trying to put myself that I'm all that, but to know what truly God can do in your life. So, you know, whatever that I have to do, I'm willing to do it. I definitely know in being in deliverance ministry that it definitely is a lifetime thing. It's not something that just happens overnight, especially when dealing with the soul.
Okay,
I just want to really be obedient.
Well, I want to say this because I want to finish what I'm saying to you. If you're called to deliverance ministry, you're going to have to work. The person does not have an emergency room because people don't get sick, wounded, or injured. And that is a constant stream of traffic. When people say, I'm called to deliverance ministry, I say, bless you. I celebrate you all day long. But understand, all day long, that's what you're going to have. You're going to have problems. You're going to have crises. Why? Because that ministry only operates with with bondage. It only operates with the people who have captivity, with the people who are addicted, the people who are afflicted. That's the nature of the ministry. So if you're called to deliverance, then that is your life. That means you are just like the person who's called to help folks deliver from addictions, or the person who's called to help people get addicted from abuse. They're not looking for a healthy person to walk in the door. They're looking for addicted and conflicted people and afflicted people to walk in the door. They're looking for that because that's what their craft is. So if you're called to deliverance, that's what that's all about. And we don't tell you that, you know, because we just kind of go to this meeting and go to that meeting and on and on and on. No, and it's going to hit your life. It's going to hit your family. And you are geared for it, but you're also empowered to handle it. Now, I want to ask you two more questions. What is it about Florida that you're talking about? Have you moved to Florida or are you moving to Florida?
I was actually moving to Florida. Pretty much many of our family members are going in that direction, but it was due to ministry, and I have much to learn. So just getting planted and so forth and moving in that direction to relocate.
So you have an open door in Florida for your ministry? Is that what you're telling me, or is it a career move?
It's really both, but primarily as far as ministry is concerned.
Okay, so because here's the thing, are you joining an existing ministry or are you setting up a ministry? I'm saying this for a reason, so please just bear with me because I'm going on a track here.
There's a ministry that I was coming and more so connecting with, but eventually going out on my own. But that would be probably until later. That's not something in which that I'm really focused on right now.
Okay, so you're walking into a pretty secure environment is what you're telling me.
Yes, looking for pretty much a support system.
That's what I'm asking. So you do have it. So then you'll go there. And when you do, you're going to have a prayer team and all of that. Is that right?
You are correct.
Okay, because here's my concern for you. Is that if you relocate to Florida, make sure the people follow through with what they say they're going to do. Because your life has been marked for fire. And when your life is marked for fire, more things fall through the crack than actually take off.
Amen.
So I'm concerned right now about your life, you relocating to Florida, people thinking they're getting you in one way and there's another because the forces, remember, you're deliverance, so the forces that resist your ministry are going to relocate with you and begin to work then.
Amen.
That is my concern. So if you're going under this thing, make sure that if ministry is not what you're relying on for your dollars and cents, make sure that you have a strong career base. Because you're going to have to be a woman that has to always have two or three revenue streams.
Amen.
And the whole idea of us coming into ministry and coming into deliverance ministry and God's just going to bless us and people are going to come back. Remember, deliverance ministry is often very much unrewarding, and I'll tell you why. Jesus, he said, I did not deliver 10, and only one came back, and that was one that wasn't in the family. Well, the people who were in the family were embarrassed. They had devils, so they weren't coming back. So only the stranger, the Samaritan, came back to say, thanks, thank you, because he was like, are you kidding? I had a miracle. I had a miracle. So, G, I want you to understand that when you have some ministries like yours, you are going to have a hefty money backup. And you're not, and in the future, my beloved, you cannot throw away economy. You, in your world, the way God has called you to function, you have to hold on to everything with all you got.
Amen.
Because remember, you are delivering folks, and those devils are not going to feel good about you doing that. So you have to have a strong base. I just hear God saying, I need you to get a strong infrastructure. If you can start a secondary or third or tertiary business, do that for you. Now, other people, maybe not. You know, folks are just rain down pennies on them, you know, but not you. You have to scrap for everything you get. That's been your life. I'm looking at your 17th year of life. You've had to fight for everything you get.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to fight to hold on to it. People love you and mad with you in 30 seconds. Love you, want to give you the world, and then want to go back and repossess everything. Why? Because you are contending with what they don't know they have, but yet they know they shouldn't feel. And so your life is that. Now, I'm going to pray for peace on you, but you have to recognize if you are, it's the same thing the person said, you want to be a cop. You want to be a cop, you can't be liked. Everybody's not going to love you as a cop. Because half
Amen.
The people you talk to are going to be mad with you. So you picked, you didn't pick, but you were ordained to an area of ministry that the glory has to come from God and the rewards have got to be in knowing you did what he told you to do and people are now walking free, living whole and healthy lives as a result. That's your
Amen.
Reward.
Amen.
And if you for anything more than that, my beloved, you're going to be disappointed every day of your life. I'm praying for you to get an economy. I think Florida is going to be very good for you. I think there's an open heaven for you there. I see a bright sky open for you. I see it's going to be great. But don't buy the initial reception. Gear up to have a plan B and a plan C.
Amen. I receive that.
Because warfare is what you do. You are the warrior, you know, the soldier. That's what they do. You can imagine a soldier saying, I turn around, I got to go and do drills for my gun. Son, daughter, that soldier, that's what you do. So you're that call in the kingdom. And I want you to move to this new location clear about what God needs you to get and clear about surviving and thriving in that land. Now, there are a couple of big donors you're going to have, but I'm going to tell you your success with your donors is distance and not intimacy.
Amen.
So some people... You just need to, we have a business relationship, we have a professional arrangement, and leave it. Don't try to make lifelong friends. Don't try to get them to understand your situation. Cry on their shoulder. They don't need that. It's not going to work. What you want to do is have a professional relationship with the donors you're going to get and just everything else you take to the throne.
Amen.
I hope that was helpful to you, my beloved.
Yes, most definitely. I thank you so much. I love correction, so don't withdraw it. I receive every last word you said. Thank you so much.
Well, don't hang up. I want to pray. But let me tell you something. That was not correction. That was instruction.
No, I'm just saying, any time at all, I mean, everything, I receive it. Thank you so much.
Okay. So let me pray for you because I need to cover you with some new stuff for you and God to go to the next level. God, I thank you for this mighty warrior, this mighty woman. First of all, Lord, I'm taking every dart, every arrow, every thorn out of her soul. I'm pulling out every spike that she has in her. I extract them by the Holy Ghost. Now I stop the blood flow. I stem it by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. We give her wounds now, just old scars of wisdom. Now, Lord, I thank you for covering her with the blood of the Lamb. I'm asking that you would align her with balanced people, the right people who are balanced so that she can grow and go forward and where she needs to go. I'm thanking you for opening the heavens for her down there, giving her an open heaven, and giving her open hearts. But God, I thank you that even as you do it, that you keep her encased in this steel suit so that she can continue to do her job and not be taken out by it physically or emotionally, psychologically or spiritually. Lord, I thank you for covering her and flanking her with new angels as she enters that place. And Lord, release the funds she needs to make her move and to do what you've called her to do. And I thank you for replenishing all of her life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, before you hang up, I want to tell you this one thing. God said, I've just released replenishment for you.
Mm-hmm.
So rejoice, my daughter. You're going to do well.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your time. I value it. Thank you so much, Dr. Right.
Thank you, too. God bless you.
Ma'am, that was rich as well. Woo.
The Holy Ghost is rich. You know, God really wants to get us to a point that he's getting his best out of us, but we're also getting the best from his covenant and his promises, and I'm excited about that. That means a lot to me. Well, Ashley, am I correct in assuming that I don't have time for another call?
That would be correct.
And why is that? We had a great show today. I want to thank everyone who was on the line and those of you who will come back and listen. Do me a favor. Remember to pass Blog Talk along to all of your friends. It's internet, so you can just pass it along on your smartphone, on your email, or however way you do it. But pass it along, because these answers may happen today, but they're for everyone else. And remember, and Ashley will tell you again, how to re-listen again and again. There are some things that we say in these calls that you can use for trainings and classroom and development and even future counsel as you're developing and nurturing those that God has in your care. So remember, don't just stop on Thursday listening to the Paula Price Show. The blessedness of technology and the blessedness of the internet is that you can come back and hear it again and again. Ashley, you told me as we're wrapping up, you told me that you've noticed that people just dial in and recycle through all of the teachings. So she's going to tell you how to do that. Meanwhile, I will connect with you again next week. Facebook me. Let me know what's going on. Tweet me. I want to know that. LinkedIn. You guys are important. This is not something that I say for the show. You're important because you're my family. God bless you.
Amen. That's right. You can listen to the Paula Price Show 24/7. As we say, it's online radio in an online world. You can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show. You get the address online through our emails. People do hit play and will let it play. Sometimes they say, I'll let it play for 4 or 5 hours, 2 or 3 shows at a time. Let it cycle through and listen to this wisdom over and over again. Spread the word. Share your friends. Do not hide this light under a bushel. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine all over the world, because we want to get this wisdom in every corner of the planet that we can find. So God bless you this week. Revisit Dr. Price's website, drpaulaprice.com. And as all the announcements that Prophet Adia made, like her Facebook page, follow her on Twitter and LinkedIn, because this apostle is truly everywhere. And some of you we will be seeing next week. So God bless you, and until next time.
Hi, this is Dr. Paula Price, host of the Paula Price Show, reminding you to revisit last week's program at blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show. Hi, this is Dr. Paula Price, thanking you for joining me on this week's show. I want to remind you that the counsel and wisdom, the prayer and prophecy that you enjoy today does not have to end with today's program. You can go to blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show and join tens of thousands of people who re-listen to my program every week. Again, blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show, and you can relive the experience every single day. God bless you.
Support the Paula Price Show today. For as little as $15 per month, you can help us expand our reach across the globe, ministering to hundreds of listeners weekly. Show your support today by visiting www.drpaulaprice.com and clicking the support button. Make a one-time fee or sign up for a monthly subscription. That's www.drpaulaprice.com. Click support and enjoy Dr. Paula Price in your living room.